So long ago, I don't remember when. That's when they say I lost my favorite lure. We were working a tiny lake up north of Rhinelander. My buddy threw it in a freaking tree.
All right, folks, welcome to the Musky 360 podcast, a Jaybird.
Steve,
I am finally back at home.
Listen,
frickin' daddy never left. Put four in the boat today. What are you gonna say? Anyway, we have on the phone already Danny Herbeck. Danny, how you doing, buddy?
Good, man.
Good deal. Good.
Just getting off the water.
Well,
getting off the water, driving home here.
Well, we wanted to give you a holler because we always do the comings and the goings of the Musky Shop. And again, if you're looking for Canada info, check it out on the app. Danny and Joe Cooper doing the Canada Musky 360 podcast, kind of a fishing report. But I had to call you immediately. I was so stoked. I got these two text messages on the water. And you were like, it works. What's going on? What did you figure out? What's this new bait you got kind of that's under the radar, your secret little thing you got going on here?
So, I mean, as you know, we have talked and I've kind of get little snippets throughout the year. I mean, besides, you know, obviously the burbot tube and the blades and the, you know, the 3D sucker Savage is launched on the Musky line, we are continuously working. You know, we have a whole lineup of stuff that we're finalizing, you know, as, you know, some guys that have it in their hands, you know, feel it's ready and it's, you know, it's proven, right? Mm-hmm. The last thing you want to do is launch a bait to the public and it be a, you know, a dud, right?
Right.
So, the new 3D sucker crosstail, it's a, you know, a real lifelike, it's a curl tail, but it also has two other tails on it. It's a triple tail design, you know, pull pause bait. But what's really cool, you know, obviously like, you know, like what we did with the tube and the bucktails, is it's got a, you know, a movable weight system in it to kind of, you know, you can totally change the action of it. If you want like a head quick fall, you put the sinker, you know, underneath the front hook, or, you know, it has, what I've been actually running with it is putting the weight underneath the back hook, which keeps it real straight. So you can really rip it and mm-hmm. stop it really fast.
Very cool.
And that's kind of seems to be, kind of be the jam with it, but it's a really cool bait. It's got really awesome, you know, colors like, you know, Savage is doing, you know, real lifelike, realistic
yeah.
fish colors.
Yeah.
And I've put some fish in the boat with it, and it's, I mean, it's just getting to that time of year for, you know, the bigger rubber. It comes in two sizes, you know, a big fall size, you know, and it's got a summer size as well. And it's, you know, a very unique bait with the action of it, with the, you know, the two tails. It's really cool. They act kind of like a rudder for mm-hmm. it, you know, so you can really, it's unlike, you know, a lot of the other rubber baits where you can really work it and you're not going to get it to roll and foul or anything like that. And, it's a killer, man.
Very cool. I'm looking right now on the Musky Shop. There's a pre-sun up for these, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Probably one of the most devastating high bright sun collars I've ever seen, because Danny and I professed to him in Canada, and he looked in my in the rubber storage home about how much I love the Alien Eels.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite collars is the blue glitter flash, that blue and silver that they do, and it looks like they're doing that in this bait. It's kind of like a rip bait. Pool bait. Danny, do you think you're saying it's more rip paws than swim bait, or does it do swim bait stuff?
Yeah, I work it really hard. I mean, I just feel like I can get more bites, you know, working a bait hard than kind of just lazily swimming it in. Not to say that, you know, that won't work for a guy, but when I work rubber, I work it really hard.
Well, there you have it, folks. Danny,
yeah, and like all Savage Gear stuff, I mean, it's so well thought out, you know. I yeah. mean, when it boils down to it, they've always got, you know, like interchangeable weight systems and stuff for fine tuning, you know, even the bucktails, you know. Yeah. So
very cool.
I'm pretty excited about this. It's gonna be a cool bait.
Yeah, I mean, it's just
yeah
it's,
they got
go ahead
they got really good hooks on them. They got BKK hooks on them, so I mean, I mean, unless you drive that thing into a rock repeatedly, I mean, they stay razor sharp, and they're real nice, heavy, you know, heavy gauge hooks. Hooking fish on them are not a problem with, you know, the quality component, obviously, right? And that's one thing that I stressed to Mads when we're working on products is that, you know, a lot of these baits, you know, they make great baits, but they put cheap components on them where, you know, you're having to replace hooks because you file them down to a nub or a split right. ring.
Or they're unsharpenable. Some of these heavy.
Or split rings are, you know, pulling open on you because they're not using heavy enough gauge split rings and, you know, stuff like that. It's just all the little things that people really overlook when they're buying a bait. I stress to the fact that we got to have the best of the best on these baits and make them the, you know, the nicest colors and the most realistic stuff we can.
Mm-hmm. Well, the one thing tell you is this, Danny. I was scoring today. Daddy came home, you know, got out on the boat, had to kick some teeth in, you know. That freaking mag shine. Remember that little giddy up on Wabagoon this year? Like the freaking side-to-side glider you showed me. Wow. Love it. So I was throwing the big one, the ghost bone, man. Very rad.
Those are very overlooked baits as well for muskies. You know, when fishing's tough, that's what I pull out generally is those shine glides.
Yeah.
You can usually get them to do something.
Weird. Yeah. I was throwing that. And again, like, it's a more, like, probably my favorite thing is this. And I'm like, you know, it's not about allegiance to anything. I love trolling, like, the Livingston Lure Viper, which is what I call, like, an automatic glide bait, right? The shine glide seems to point harder left to right on a actual reeling stop kind of deal, like real zhuk, zhuk, like you're just kind of pumping the reel. Zhuk, 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 zhuk.
Yeah, it's,
if you know what I'm saying,
it's a glide. Oh, it's a glide. It's a true glide. You don't even have to twitch the rod. You can do it all with the reel handle if you want. And the nice thing about that is that perfect 90-degree turn it makes. And I mean, with muskies, especially when they're really negative, that's the trigger, is that 90-degree turn. It's kind of a, you know, shit or get off the pot type deal, right? They're either going to eat it or they're going to peel away and do nothing with it.
Right. Do something or, get after it. So now that's another interesting thing. And like I said, we got Danny here just for, like I said, not to pump baits, but you know, that some of the Savage Gear stuff, like I said, as much time, actually I'm headed to, that's another thing I got to tell everybody, I'm headed to Europe here in a few more days. We'll report on that shortly. That's going to be fun. But some of these concepts and some of the thought process behind these baits is pretty cool. Well, I got you, Danny, that freaking, the 3D Burbot, the original, not the Burbot 2, but the one bit, the big ribbon tail. You know, what's up with that? I know you did some cool trolling with that. Have you talked about that on your fishing report on the podcast, or is that something you're trying to keep secret? That kind of like low and deep troll?
I don't really keep it secret. We're actually, you know, it was developed over in Europe as a pike bait and, you know, brought over here. And I mean, I catch a bunch of fish. I work it kind of like a bulldog. You can slow troll it. I mean, it's, it looks just like an actual burbot. I mean, and every fish in freshwater loves eating them, but we're actually in the works right now of redesigning it for actual musky fishing, making it, you know, a little bit more sturdy, you know, a wire through harness. So that there's going to be a revamp of that in the future coming because it is a very deadly bait.
Very cool. So awesome, Danny. Well, I appreciate the heck out of you. We grabbed him right when he got off the water. It's not the typical comings and goings of the muskie shop, but at least giving you guys a heads up with what Danny's got brewing here. And you know, it's all about catching fish here, and it's you know, like me and Danny laugh, we work for two different masters, but you know, it's solving the problems and getting the right presentations and putting fish in the boats with matter. Had to talk to him. He sent me two just stellar muskies on that 3D crosstail. So something to consider. Check him out, man. He's doing the Canada podcast with Joe. What would you say, Danny, is like the trajectory? I know is where we get, I think you're going to finish out September. What do you think for like October, November on that? Like a monthly, or what's kind of your thought there when we get into this like cold water sucker stuff?
Well, I mean, I'll be fishing every day right through to the end of October. And I mean, might as well kind of, I mean, and you do have an influx of people coming up that last few weeks of October. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, probably keep the weekly thing going right through till the end of October. And I mean, Joe's hardcore. He'll fish till the whole lake is iced up. He'll break ice for miles to get out there. So
nice. That's why we got him, baby.
But I mean, after October kind of goes, then probably do just a monthly thing and more in depth on, you know, what we saw throughout the season and little adjustments a guy can make to kind of prepare himself for next year and, you know, things like that. Right. Just a little bit more informative other than just, you know, a fishing report on what we're seeing and stuff like that, right?
Very cool, man. So Danny, well, I appreciate the heck out of it. We're going to finish up the podcast here. If you'll hang her up for me. Guys, check it out. Danny's doing that fishing report with Joe Cooper. Great stuff on Canada. And I would say this, though. Great stuff for just generality of muskie fishing, too. You know what I'm saying? Just to keep dialed in and keep going there. So, Danny, keep slaying them. I'll talk to you soon, my friend.
All right. Take care, guys.
Later. Well, Jay Bird, what do you think about that?
It's awesome. Yeah. And you know what? And then Danny's got that new video that we all just did, you know, with yourself in it on the Savage Gear 3D Bourbon Tube.
Throw it up on the app. It's on the Muskie Shops YouTube. Bourbon Tube. And like I said, man, I make the crack and Danny made the bourbon tube, man. Let's catch fish. If he and I, can kick, we get peas and carrots, you know? So. There's tactically things you can learn from everybody. And so Danny's got a very, very interesting perspective on muskie fishing. And one of my favorite people in recent memory to spend a day in the boat with or to punish your liver with, Jay. Yep. It just happens. What are you going to do? You know, man's got to eat. Anyway, we're just jumping right in. Why not? If we're talking about the 3D bourbon tube coming up, there's some new Muskie Shop hoodies in. That's cool. Check that out. You got the, what is it, Dialwood F, what, J Fluoro FC? What is this?
It's a fluorocarbon line. It's light line. It's not musky line.
Ah, is it back? No, it's not even. Okay, so it's bassy.
It's main line. Yeah.
Yeah, you get freaking.
Light stuff for the walleye fishermen.
For the walleye, for the Walters.
I mean, we want that ultra clear, invisible presentation.
I made Danny Herbeck take a picture of my monster walleye I caught with him. He was mad.
Well, walleyes are fish too.
No, they're lame. It was lame. But he was like, really? I was like, take a picture of it. I never catch walleye. Blah, 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 blah.
Well, it was a giant. Come on.
It was a giant. It was fun. I don't care. Have no shame. Whatever. Me holding a walleye. Moving on. Moving, you know. Tough tit, bud. Take my picture. Mm-hmm. Smiling big. Anyway, Jay, what's going on with you up there? What seems to be the current vibe in the North Woods? You know, what are you seeing? You
know, it's changed a little bit.
Vibe,
Steve.
I know the vibe.
Don't know. I mean, the last few days, actually, Thursday, Friday, we had a really, really nice welcome cold front. You know, very cold weather, 30s at night. Water temps dropping like crazy. Everyone's like, oh, yeah, bring on the sucker fishing. Bring on fall, you know?
Right.
And now they're talking 80-plus degrees Monday through Friday.
Yuckity yuck yuck. Really?
And maybe into the weekend, like upper 70s. So way above normal. It's hard to say what that's going to do, but I think some adjustments are in order. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, you know let me look here.
Because that's unusual. Obviously, it's way above normal. Holy. You know, the lakes are,
Dude, I mean, I'm looking right here. Yeah, 79, 78, 85, 84. Whoa, yeah. It is not fall.
So, Yeah, so that might put a little bit of a dent in the program.
Yeah, have fun keeping them suckers alive, boys. I mean, we're almost.
That's not widespread yet. People are picking them up. You know, Fred picked one up on a guide trip just the other day. I think he went out Thursday after work. And,
hey, even a blind squirrel sure can find a nut. Yeah.
He had one.
What?
and he had a pickup on it. Couldn't get set the iron, as they say. But yeah, you know,
cramping up. I can't set the hook.
Well, he was cramping. It was It was warm. That's inside joke.
Sorry. Oh man. Yeah. You would think it would be suckerish. But hey, whatever, I'm not big on commentary when it comes to anything real world, but man, weather patterns are weird, Jay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, September used to be a cold thing. Hey, maybe it's the axis. Who knows? Whatever. Not going there. But it is seems way warmer. You know, I'm having to fish low and slow and deep. One thing that shocked me when I got home. It was so hot while I was gone, right? Thank goodness. My wife would text me, Jay, it's 104. Right. No, woman, it's 65 where I'm at, right? Or whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
And like Mike, my buddy Mike, or some other people I got to hang out with in Canada, we would look at it and be like, oh my goodness, we're 60 degrees cooler. Or, it's 45 degrees. You can see your breath or something crazy. But it roasted the vegetation down here.
Okay.
There is not...
roasted it early die-off. Oh,
frickin' smoldered, smited by the hand of God, So that's something I'm going to have to contend with. But, structure is structure is structure. So that kind of plays. You know what? Let's try, Jay. Let's try somebody. Let's see what Jake Smitty Smith is saying. Let's see if he answers.
I saw him just the other day.
Knifing people in a parking lot?
He stopped in with a shanking knife and he started, he was just, he was looking at Fred and got in his face, had a stare down challenge going there. It was just creepy.
Let me call him.
Hey, this is Jake Smith. I'm probably out fishing right now, but if you leave your name and your message, I'll get back to you when I get in. Thank you.
At the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Jake, I'm pregnant. Call me. Anyway, Jay, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm sorry, I just left him the voicemail. So you probably couldn't hear that because it didn't merge them. Anyway, seeing what he's doing,
He's in Canada, actually.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, well, I think he left Saturday morning. Yeah.
What's he doing up there?
I think he went up with his daddy.
Oh,
with Big Smitty.
Selling wizards. Well, I left him a voicemail.
Black market wizards.
Black market. Oh, sir, are you bringing anything across the border for sale? Absolutely not. It's just shanks. It's just piles of weaponry.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, yeah, it's interesting. Fall is not fall thus far. That seems to be the vibe.
Can you call me back?
No, you're fine.
Okay.
Sounds great.
So what are we talking about?
We're talking about fall muskies, Herbeck. At least you answer the phone. What would you say on a scale of 1 to 10, or why would the Smitties not answer my call?
I don't know. Maybe they weren't home.
Anyway, we're just harassing people this evening, talking fall muskies. It is warm. It is weird. Jay kind of was cueing me in and what's happening up north. What's your vibe? What's kind of like a musky legends read on how you contend with this warmer fall? A lot of guys would be thinking suckers almost already. What's your read on Wisconsin all the way up through Eagle? What are you thinking, bud?
Well, there's definitely, at prime time moon phases and stuff, there's definitely a shallow bite going on. It goes up and down, with these heat spells and cold fronts coming in. We really just need the water temperature to just slowly get cooler and cooler. you know, for that pre-turnover bite to get really, really, really good. You know, so you got fish doing a little bit of everything. There's some fish down deep, and they've been there all summer. That's why some places have had sporadic bites going on. And then there's fish really shallow at this time of the year. So you just got to kind of play around. It depends upon the kind of lake you're on, too, you know. But, you know, I've definitely noticed, you know, fish out deep, and they've been there pretty much all summer. And you know, those are the fish that will come up, come pre-turnover and turnover. And those are the fresh fish that we hope ain't been, you know, scoped to death. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. What kind of, like, for those deep fish, right? Presentation wise, what's kind of your game plan?
Well, you know, most of the time it's, you know, vertical jigging or tubes or bulldogs, you know, a weighted Medusa works good too. But generally it's really tough to beat, you know, tubes of any type, whether it's, you know, the Red October, the Kraken, I weight extra heavy to do it. Or the Savage, you know, I mean, they all work good, but what I've done a lot better with on these deep fish is clean tubes, not the spinner. You know, get a lot more erratic action. You know, you can keep the bait deeper easy through most of your retrieve. And when I'm fishing, you know, what you do is you just look for places and fish. Well, like a key is looking for where the fish are concentrating on that hard bottom mud transition walleye bite that usually happens this time of year going into turnover. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be, it's a different type of a deal. A lot of people don't do it. But this is also extended bite starts to deteriorate a little bit, you know. So the fish start really falling, going down with the falling thermocline. You know, sometimes in a lot of lakes, you can find the thermocline. Depends on the type of lake and how deep the lake is. But you're going to find a thermocline 30 feet deeper right now.
We're just talking about the thermocline and where you're targeting fish. What were you saying?
Yeah, the fish just naturally kind of, especially in your deep, clear, Cisco-based type of lakes, they tend to, you know, those fish that are suspended over open water a lot in the summer, those fish just follow the thermocline down. So they get more and more out of reach. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You have to be a little careful about how deep you're fishing. You know what I'm saying?
Right. What would you say, and I'm not putting you on the spot, what's the safe range?
20, 25 feet.
Anything past that? Like, I've never, like...
Well, if you fish any deeper than that, you got to be very careful and bring them in very, very slow. And also have a big... Like, I have my plug knocker with a split ring and a small wire bluegill hook mm-hmm. on it. And if I have a fish that I bring up any deeper than 20, 25 feet, whether it looks like it's stressed or not, I hook it into the skin and the tip of its lower jaw. I put it down to the depth from, and I let it swim around for about 10 minutes, and then I just pop the wire free. And the fish are, you know, they're back. It's almost like a skin diver, you know, going into the tank, you know, to decompressionize, you know. But to if you want to fish shallow this time of year, the best thing to do is pick your lakes that are turning green and stuff like that have depths of basins that are 30, 35 feet and less, and you got a lot of weed growth and shallow bars, and they're turning green. Those are the kind of lakes that right now are actually at their peak. And you'll find them on miles, and there's usually a great night bite going on, you know. And so, you know, you got to pick the kind of lake too, you know, that and what's going on the kind of lake that if you aren't able to pick, you know, a certain type of lake. But definitely the best shallow bite is on your lakes that got some color to them and typically turn a little green come this time of year.
Wait, something you hit me to years and years ago, is blackout blades with the black skirt on green legs. Does it still hold for you?
Oh yeah, best by far the best combination on green legs is black and black or black and orange.
Yeah,
you know, that's just anything. My Civics I bring out for this time of year are black. You know, mm-hmm. my Bulldogs, my Medusas are black. My tubes are black with an orange stripe on the belly. You know, things like that. You know, it's just, it sets, it really contrasts to the green.
Right. Easy you know? Target. Yeah. Easy target. So let me ask you this, because we'll inevitably be at sucker fishing up north here soon, right? So
yeah, it'll be a bit. You could catch them on, especially, you know, right now, you know, you can catch them on smaller suckers as good as a tube. If you're a scoper and you scope fish, you know, throwing a small sucker at them on a jig or on a Lindy rig or a slip bobber and throw it to them like a 8 to 10 inch sucker, they'll gobble it right up. Mm-hmm. But you gotta be, there's no waiting, man. You set the hook immediately, mm-hmm. you know?
Right. What are some of your tips though, like gearing up for sucker fishing when fall actually hits up north?
Well, I personally don't get really serious, you know, about sucker fishing until the water, you know, gets closer to 50 degrees. You know what I mean?
Gotcha. So we got a minute for sure.
Yeah. But you know, the problem with it is when you got temperatures in the high 60s, 70s, it's just hard to keep them alive.
Right.
You know, if you got a cooler instead of a live well, and you know, you got, you know, some ice you can throw in there through the course of the day, and then you get the fish down to 10, 12 feet, the bait, you know, then you're okay. But it's a lot of dicking around.
Right.
What will work right now, just to kind of, you know, because you're allowed an extra line in northern Wisconsin up to three if for three people, you mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Right.
Is just, you know, while you're casting, just run one, you know, about, you know, 6 to 12 feet below the boat, usually around 8 to 10 feet. And I usually like it just at a little bit of an angle, 45 towards the back of the boat, or you can float it just for follows. You know what yeah. I mean?
Just have it there and be prepared.
And I'm telling you right now, if you're at a lake, a lot of them green lakes got it. A lot of these green lakes are full of little northerns. In northern Wisconsin, they're legal. If you hang a little northern 10 feet back of the boat, fucking 6, 7, 8 feet down, you're gonna be surprised how many bites you get.
Yep. Hey, man.
Seriously.
Hey.
They go down. They love them. They have a hard fin on them. They go down like linguine, you know?
Yep.
They love them.
Why not? Hey, if you can do it, do it. So, fantastic. You're going to be back on Eagle here very shortly. What's that looking like, kind of that October-ish? What's your read on a typical, like,
All depends on what kind of September we got. Right. If we got 70 degrees all September, then, you know, it's going to be like September come October.
Right.
You know, if it acts like Eagle's supposed to, and starting soon, which next week it ain't going to start because we got high temperatures all over the northern part. Like right now, we got good cold fronts that start slowly dropping the water. But next week, there we go again. But 70. 75, 80 degrees.
Oh, you guys are as warm as us now. I'm back home, and it's like, whoa.
Yeah, what you need is the temperatures to slowly start dropping. And even if you're in turnover, as long as it slowly starts dropping, you know, fish start acting like it's going to happen. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But if it stays warm and you get them hot spells, the fish act really, really squirrely. And what you find is a lot of fish out deep over the mud during cold fronts. And on the hot spells, you're going to find them right up in the shallow slop.
Right, which is spinnerbait, bucktail, topwater kind of thing.
And they move in and out at just the whim of them, you know?
Yeah, just quickly. Something, you know, a lot of people don't think about Steve Herbeck and trolling very often. But I know you troll as well. When do you start implementing trolling during the fall period?
Well, if you get those cold fronts and you're in turnover, you know, trolling over mud flats and stuff where the walleyes are hanging and stuff like that can be very, very effective. But typically, I like the combination cast and use live bait as long as I can. If I don't have good live bait, and we're in the turnover, past turnover, then I'm going to troll. Mm-hmm. I also troll when the wind conditions are tough for people to cast all day, when mm-hmm. it's really cold and your reels are freezing and stuff. But, you know, and if the fishing's on the tougher side, I start banging the edges because I can cover a lot of ground and I can trigger fish.
Yeah, there you go. What more can you ask for, Steve? We appreciate it. We'll catch up with you here soon. All right, buddy?
Yep, take care.
Be good. Jay, what do you think about that? Herbie, the man, the myth, the legend. Some tips on suckers, trolling, the whole bit, kind of this fall transition thing.
Great stuff. Yeah, and how to make adjustments when you get a warm blast when that's the opposite of what's expected. Yeah, that's good stuff.
Whole thing you're going, well, it isn't what it should be, but it be what it do.
Mm-hmm.
But it be
well
what
put.
It do. You know, yeah. Well, articulate is what they mm-hmm. say. Some might say, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, you know, another great person to talk with would be the great Elmer, but he's in Canada too.
Really? Where's he at? Lake of the Woods?
Lake of the Woods with his group of Eagle River guys from his club.
What's Freddie doing?
We should try Fred.
Let's try Fred.
Okay. Okay. I'll try him.
Fred!
Jay. What's going on, guys?
Well, Fred, what are you doing, buddy?
Just taking care of customers inside the shop.
Well, we wanted to know what the bite was looking like in the Northwoods right now. What do you got going on?
There's a lot of fish. A lot of fish are shallow right now with this major cold front that we've had. Uh-huh. And now we're going to be facing a warm front starting tomorrow, going up into the 80s. So they might fly back out to the outside edge.
Nice.
What I'm thinking it's going to be.
What are you throwing?
I'm going to be throwing some, off the get-go, when I get back on the water for muskies, I will be throwing, definitely still going to throw a Big Mac from Livingston.
Mm-hmm.
And I will probably throw that when I got off the get-go, and then also possibly a Kraken or even Red October tubes or even some Suix on the outside edge on those colder mornings.
What are you seeing? Are you doing walleye right now or multi-species?
Yep, I'm going walleye and crappie fishing tomorrow.
What are they doing?
So tomorrow I'm going to target around the 27 to 30 foot range for walleyes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
I'm going to use crawlers and probably red-tailed chubs.
Ooh.
And then I will go chase my beloved crappies, and those will probably be suspended in 22, 23 feet of water.
Are you in some areas? Are you scoping it all, Fred?
Yes, I'll be scoping the crappies and the walleye.
Well, are you seeing, when you're doing that, right, because like Danny Herbeck, mm-hmm. and when I'm looking at bait and things of that nature, when you're scoping the walleyes right now in the North Woods or scoping the crappies, are you seeing muskies on occasion in those depths? Or
occasionally, yeah. You'll see it. You'll see something that's very abnormal and much larger in size, and that's when I wish I had a Red October tube or a Kraken or something in the boat, and I wasn't just targeting the walleye.
Or a Bondi.
That's very big.
Dude, you got to keep one on hand. Get you a big, heavy Kraken or a Bondi. I'm going to throw at that thing. It's 40 feet out, 30 feet down, kadoosh, you know? You know,
yep.
So it feels like we've talked to Danny Herbeck, Steve Herbeck. We tried the Smitties. We're just running our mouths this evening, but you know, it's one of these things where it obviously the date on the calendar does not belie what is happening, right? It's supposed to be cold, but you got one cold front. It's gonna be hot and blah 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 blah. Where the fall transition's not happening like the way we want it to, so we got to make augmentations in our game plan. Where,
yep.
You know, typically, like when people think typical Northwoods fall, what would the staging depths of walleye and crappie be right now?
Well, I mean, it just depends on what body of water. Sometimes you know, they'll slide up shallow.
Yeah.
At some point in time, But it just depends on the body of water you're fishing. Like, I fish a lot of clear bodies for my walleyes and that. I fish a lot of clear bodies of water. Yeah. So then they'll go out deep.
Yeah.
Because that's where my confidence is, because I can scope them. I can go out there and scope them now, you know.
Right, right.
Where you it's harder to see them moving through the weeds in the shallows.
Right.
Unless if they're just above the weeds.
Right.
And, I mean, when you find them just above the weeds, that's when it's nice and you can see the stuff there, you know.
Right. And just bam,
there's
bam,
a
bam,
definite
bam.
Difference.
Yeah.
Yep. Cast this way, cast that way. So.
What are you hearing at the counter at the shop? As far as muskies?
It's been up and down. It's been up and down. I had one of my clients got one on, what's today? Today is Saturday. Today's Sunday.
Yeah. I
yep,
think.
So on, yeah, my day's kind of been running together.
Yeah, me too, bud.
On Friday, Saturday, my client got one in about 6 feet of water on a muskie, caught about a 45-incher.
Uh-huh.
So he's having a heck of a year. Jeff Voss is his name. He got a giant with me this year while trolling. Got a 47-incher. Now he's got a 45 and a 40 and mm-hmm. all that under his belt. So he's quite addicted. And
right.
he's even gotten some to go on suckers, too, when he's had times.
Right. We were talking about
so
that.
So the sucker bite's picking up.
We were talking about that with Herbeck, and it, when it warms back up, the concern is going to be hard to keep him alive, but it seems like, you know, it's going to be a hot spell before things drop back off. Obviously, with doing your walleyes and all this stuff, how do you keep live bait alive, Fred?
Well, for me, myself, personally, I've purchased throughout the years, I got a couple of those angle bait buckets or even a Frable bait bucket that's got an aerator.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'll use for my red-tailed chubs and that for this time.
And they're
of year.
Well insulated, you know. I mean,
yep.
they're going in cool. You know, the water coming
cool.
from at the shop is very cool.
But
yeah, 55 degrees usually.
I think a lot of the problem is like, we're not to live bait. If you guys are not caught on, we're not to live bait yet. But think about it, because when you throw them in your live well in the boat, that you've had sunscreen in, right? You've had your mm-hmm. sunscreen. You've had a bottle of Stable. 14 beers, right? And some DEET. You had a bottle of Deep Woods Off in there in the summer. The first batch of suckers are dead, right?
They're done.
They're
they
done.
Are done.
Right? You just, welcome to the intoxicant level. You're dead, right? So,
then there's the guy that's like, "Oh, my live well's all dirty. I'm gonna, you know, get some bleach and really clean this thing out."
Yeah.
It's all there's scum lines in it.
Dead.
It's like, oh, that takes like 5, 6, 7 rinses before the bleach content is, you know, washed out of there.
Yeah.
Suckers are the softest fish on planet Earth. They're like, you look at them wrong, dead, right?
Uh huh.
You,
Freddie plays with the kids inside the muskie shop and drops them on their heads. Then
dead.
Then they're dead.
Dead, right.
Then the boss comes in the next day and there's a floater. He's like, "Fred, you were playing with the suckers again."
Fred is always, that's the
beat. Seen it once, I've seen it 100 times.
Freddie's getting written up yet again for playing with the suckers. So, you know, Fred, what is the, do you think when this, so we have a cold front in the Northwoods and in Canada as well. It's going to peak up. It's going to get hot again and then probably drop off the cliff. What is kind of like, mm-hmm. and the reason we want to call you is because you do multi-species, which is cool, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, it's, what is the vibe on the first, like, when temperatures actually start to drop for real, on crappie and walleye as far as, you know, thinking about them as a musky forage base, when temperatures finally drop into the 60s for real, what's the staging of crappie and muskies in that northern habitat zone?
You know, they'll slide in shallow one more time before they go back out.
Before
you know?
They commit.
Yeah, what is the magic? What is the magic timing there with the fall crappie bite? Because a lot of people look forward to that.
Now, I just remember last year, and I can't look back at my page because I've got some stuff that's going on. I did really well in October last year, all the way up through like middle. I was catching crappies in 9 feet of water, And I would say that the water temp was probably, you know, still in that 60 degree mark, 60 degree surface temp, you know. And they were in 9 feet. And then on one lake, I've got my one lake that I go to where I know they're suspended. And that's my, game saver there. So, and they're, I'll catch them all the way into November out there suspended. And that's usually can be, you know, into the upper 50s. Yeah,
really.
I'll still get them. Yeah.
What? Yeah. Let me ask you this: when would you say best? Again, it moves every year. What is the temperature number on your transom, transducer, your trunk water transducer when crappies go deep? What's the number where you go, boom, they're down?
Well,
it's very general, yeah.
Yeah, it is very vague and general because, you know, I'll get them some, you know, sometimes, you know, I catch them from spring till fall all year long usually. Right. And obviously, as we all know, there's good days and bad days in fishing. Right. You know, fronts always mess with it. I like to have the sun peeking out a little bit. And, you know, so like tomorrow my game plan, because I got walleye and crappie, I'm going to start chasing the walleyes because I'm sure it'll still be a little bit cool in the morning. And we'll start walleye fishing over some sandbars in the 26, 27-foot range with, like I said, crawlers and red-tailed chubs. And then around 10:30, 11 o'clock, we'll go start chasing some crappies in the weeds. And if I can't find them in the weeds, then I'll go suspended.
Nice.
And my suspended spot.
Yeah. And then after that, the optimal question is, when does that just go dead? Meaning, like, when does that panfish or walleye bite just go extremely deep? When are you just done? When you just go, and I'm not asking this, again, you're an excellent guide for walleye and panfish and muskies as well. When are you just going, everything's so deep, it's inaccessible?
Yeah, I, like, when, like, in the, like, early November, I mean, I've caught them in early November, but, like, I don't like to go after the walleyes when it gets to be that late, because when you're pulling them out of that deep of water, their bladder, that is not good for them when they get up past that 40 foot mark when you're fishing 40 feet deep.
Right.
Because their bladder will explode when you bring them up out of the water, out of that deep of water when you're fishing with jigging crawlers.
And what's the water temp somewhere in that neighborhood?
Somewhere around then is going to be probably 50s. 50? Low
50s. Now, let me ask you this loaded question. But so the walleyes drop down that deep, right? Obviously, some muskies will follow them down. Is that the same time period you think suckers move up and muskies dial in on those? Or what because
I would have to say, I would have to think so.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. So. Because
and then we're going to have then you get the then the whitefish will start sliding up and come in. Whitefish and Cisco and that, and they slide in shallow, and then the muskies will start chasing those too.
Right, because I always thought if you're a small sucker, you're on the menu for a big walleye.
Right.
So you go no, and they kind of pass each other in a glancing blow, and then the whitefish move up, and you go. The muskies always muskies in general, right? Given their druthers. Are mid-depth to shallow water predators, if not shallow water predators.
Correct.
And there's that transition. Fred, let me ask you this, and you're killing it. Your info is amazing. As a leave muskies off the table, right? Forget muskies. What do walleye, panfish, suckers, and other baitfish do when we finally hit turnover?
Varies. You know, they'll still slide up shallow. I mean, they're still there, you know. It's not like they pack up and leave, you know. They're there. I just generally try to, for myself personally, rule of thumb, I usually generally stop fishing them in November just because I'm wore out by that time of the year.
Right.
You know, between working in the shop. But, you know, they still slide up shallow. They're still somewhat shallow. There's still a good shallow bite going on in November.
Heck yeah, guys. Well, you know what? It's kind of awesome. Fred, we love your wieners every year.
That's
Jay,
right.
Jay, you spend 12 months thinking about Fred's wieners, correct?
Not really, Steve.
But anyway, no. Fred always has great info. Guys, if you need info on what is happening with bait fish for muskies, which are typically really good fare for anglers, if you need to understand walleye or crappie movements in the North Woods, there's nobody I trust more than Fred. And Fred, that's super informative because you spend such like a diverse amount of time on the water where Fred is a hardcore muskie angler, but Fred's going to take you out and bend that rod and put fish in the boat. And he's the first guy I ask when it comes to walleye and crappie movements and things we would consider to be bait for muskies, but they're pan fillers. So, Fred, thank you so much, buddy. We'll catch up with you soon, all right?
Sounds good, guys. Have a good one.
You too, buddy.
Bye, Fred. Thanks.
Bye.
Jay, what do you think of that, bud?
That's Fred. Fred, yeah, I mean, spot on, you know.
Spot on.
That's exactly, I mean, he's been talking that, yeah, I mean, countless people coming in, really asking him the same questions all week.
Well, and that's the thing, is like, obviously, you can call the shop or whatever you want to do, you know. You know, it's just one of those deals where you go, he understands what's happening with the walleye and the panfish, which is very, very, very useful.
It's useful to a good muskie angler. Absolutely.
Absolutely. So anyway, let's hit some Q&A here. Tyler, hey, thanks for the feedback. My first question, we're going to be fishing on Eagle from basically Portage Bay to Vermilion Bay and then the whole Western Arm. Will the same tactics apply there as you answered the first time? Just trying to get the best use of our time here. Absolutely. Right. So you're going to be dealing with clear water on Eagle. Whatever Herbeck said and Daddy Herbeck said, you need to be serious about it. Right. Those guys know it. Jordan SP, while floating down a small numbers river, alone on my 11-foot flat bottom, I found myself casting towards the bank, a typical cover with some luck. On my third ski of the day, I realized these fish were not in fact being caught off cover, but structure instead. Second fish came early in the retrieve all over this little farm field drainage ditches that carved out small channels of my fish. Fish came from nowhere under the boat in my eight. My boat was over the first break and I was casting at the bank. Once again, structure. It hit me that what was exactly going on is what you preach consistently. Now I'm targeting only small creek beds and counting 2 to 4 fish per moon phase. Now I need to learn how to catch them off moon. I've tried trolling, but it's hard to given the shallowness of the river I'm targeting. I end up trolling topwater, and it provided me a little confidence. I'm about to go and try to jig these deep breaks between moon phases. What else should I try between serious things? Fantastic. You finally...
That's pretty cool.
It finally clicked. I came home, boys. Homeboy. I came home to no weeds, right? Nothing. And I love nothing more than the exploitative nature of fishing weed beds. Muskies like weeds. We all know it, right?
Definitive weed bed is awesome.
Right. Sure. Weeds and topwater and bucktails, whoop-de-doo, turn the handle, fish on in. Well, I came home
now
roasty and toasty. Put 4 in the boat today. 4. Right? 3/40. Fishing structure.
Yeah, I bet you're concentrating on structure versus the cover element that you're used to in the summer on your body of water. That's cool.
Right. So as fantastic as cover is, when structure is devoid of cover, structure trumps all. Weather trumps all. Structure trumps all. Cover is a third consideration. The fourth being seasonality. Right. Where, when, and why. We're actually, I didn't even think about this. We're talking about seasonality, this whole thing. What's happening? Why is the fall so warm? Well, seasonality is kind of wonky donkey, right? It's just the never-ending summer. But what are muskies going to do? Now, he's saying he's having good bites, right, in off-moon periods or moon periods.
Yeah.
That means your fish are dialed in on some kind of solar event, solar lunar event, but that will change. What you need to do is assess what structures are they feeding from. He's saying creek beds. Often creek beds lead into shallow zones, littoral zones. They lead into feeding areas. And you need to observe them. They would adhere to those patterns for pretty much the entire year in a shallow river. Right? You know, if it's not superbly deep in any capacity, they're going to adhere to that. So understanding that deeper and going, where does this creek bed terminate is where I'm going to be in off moon or non-prime periods. Muskies seek deep refuge when they're not predating. However, if you drop it on their head, you might get a reaction. So what does that creek bed actually do? Does it come out and yoke out into to an upper? You know, if you think about it, you know, the upstream might be eroded. The downstream might be a bar or a curvature. Understand the deeper composition and the connectivity. Right, Jay? Me and you did it the other day, and this is a great example. We were hungry. We were hungry boys, hungry like the wolf. We waited in a parking lot until the restaurant opened. Right? We did it. We waited in a parking lot. And then we went to the restaurant when they were supposed to open. It didn't open. So we found an alternative food source. Think about that.
Yep.
The restaurant ain't open. So we sat in your car. And that didn't play. So we went across the street. How did things connect? What is the closest feeding zone near prime structure and cover?
Exactly what happened.
Right? It is just baseline survivalism at that point.
Because you were hungry, you were getting really irritable and cranky, and you're like, I must eat now. And I'm like, I have an alternative. Calm down. I have an alternative, Steve. Here we go. Buckle up.
Boom,
we're there.
But it's a baseline core line thing. You go, food is available here, allegedly. How do we get there? We go down this road and we turn here. That is structure. I said in the book, you see McDonald's, you see the connectivity. When it resonates with you, finally, when you finally find the thing that resonates with you, you go, holy crap, he's not autistic. It just freaking, it's a freaking fireworks in your freaking head. Sorry. Oh, somebody sent me a picture of a dead muskie on the ice. Thank you so much for that. That's what I wanted to see.
That was pleasant.
Oh, yeah, wonderful. Wonderful. Congratulations. You're a dick. So, Aunt Brendan is... Sorry. I get those on occasion. I'm like... Here's a muskie I killed on a swim jig. What do you think about that? I'll just send him a thumbs up. Brandon, is there any word on when the swim bait tails for the Kraken and the pull tails will be out? I bought four of them because you guys said the swim bait tail. Oh, yes. Okay. We deal with manufacturing a lot of the things. They will show up very soon.
Yes. So,
yes. The answer is yes. So, I don't do comparisons, but when you see the head roll and the swagger on this, you're going to die. When you see the Magnus, your head's going to explode. I got some swim bait things for you boys. I promise you that. So the Kraken tail kits will be out very shortly. They're a coming. It is the nature of the beast. Chess. I usually try to avoid other anglers in the water. I'm finding this more difficult to do with increased angling pressure. If two boats are trawling towards one another, or you're both working the same weed edge, does one boat have the right of way over the other? I'm typically fishing large rivers. Are there unwritten rules for anglers and boat control? So there are written rules on boating for sure, right?
Yeah, there's written rules, sure.
I'm a Coast Guard captain. I should be able to rattle that off the top of my head, so I'm not going to because I'll probably be wrong. You know, there's a cheat sheet, Jay, where you flip up the thing that says port and starboard.
Well, pass to the right.
Yeah. So
just like oncoming traffic.
It's a game of chicken some days.
Mm.
You know, and especially if you're trawling, you know, it is what it is. All I remember from my Coast Guard captain's test is sailboats rule the earth. Other than that, I would fail. Right? You just, it's in one ear, out the other ear.
What about if you encounter a catamaran? What do you do?
Unpowered vessels always have right away.
Aha! Aha! Okay. I'm going to ask you questions more often like
that. No, no. Things that I had to study and I just went, well, this is stupid. What is boat passing? Google, thank you. Boat. Head. Oh, come on. My keyboard is so crusty. Each vessel in a meeting situation must alter course to starboard. The each will pass port to port. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I thought. That's what it is. So you need to be port to port. Right? So if they're going to port to starboard, you're in the right. They're wrong. So port to port should be your meeting. Port is your left side. I'm pretty sure. I fish off the port side of my boat, which is left side.
It's bringing back memories, isn't it?
Oh, my God. I had to, like, to get my captain's license, dude. I had to, like, do all this shit. It was so stupid because you had to be, like, I had to do navigational charts. Port is the left side of your boat, starboard. So port to port. So if you're heading due north, that's the deal. And no one cares. And they will just cut you off. So no one knows that. I am mentally bereft of any memory. And it is what it is. So use your flare gun. Let them know they're passing on the wrong thing. Casey, thank you, Stephen J., for this joyful and very informational podcast. And emotional podcast, Jay.
Very emotional, usually, yeah.
I love you.
You're breaking my heart.
Breaking my heart. I'm gearing up for my first musky outing. I've done my purchasing research by studying your book and taking notes of this podcast. I look forward to every Monday morning for the next episode. Well, thank you so much. Much appreciated. Put a Hogosaurus in your net. That would make me superbly happy.
That guy came in Friday, nicest guy in the world, and he did a double. As soon as he saw me, he turned around. Fred,
you know,
I didn't know him. Fred was, talking crappie tactics with him or something. He turned around and he goes, "Hey, I love your videos." And I'm like, "Hey, thanks a lot." You know, and he went off with Fred and they were doing something in the back room. I don't know what. And he came back later and he was checking out at the counter and he was talking, you know, and he's talking with Fred and he starts talking with me. And all of a sudden he kind of recognized my voice because actually he wanted, he was buying your book among other things.
Yee-yee.
Right. And he wanted it autographed. And I'm like, well, you know, Steve's not in town, but we could, you know, he's coming back into town, I think, in October. And then he goes, Jaybird?
Oh, like uncomfortable, yeah.
From the podcast too, so it was like it was funny.
Oh, it's awesome. Sean says, "I use the Joe Booker shallow raiders, depth raiders on European pike with a lot of success. Is taking the middle treble hook off in certain situations taking a little away from the design Joe innovated? I can't get enough of Muskie 360. The work you guys do is awesome." Thank you. A lot of cheers. Thanks. This evening. You're not taking away. All you're doing is augmenting the weight profile of the bait, right? So
yeah, you're talking about a bait with three treble hooks,
right?
By the way.
Yep. Which is overkill. Mm-hmm. That's a whole other conversation. But yeah. You're reducing the weight by grams. I know these. I know European measurement from my 20s. Jay learned a lot about it. Right?
I get it.
Mm-hmm. Grams. You know, whatever.
If you took a teenth off that.
Teenth? Well, you learn the metric system when you're like I am.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
The hard way. So you're reducing the bait's overall weight profile by grams. So if you like the running depth, but you don't want a third hook, so let's say you don't want a third hook because of mortality or deep hooking, because a lot of times pike just freaking smoke stuff. You might be well served by weighing how many grams of that hook and adding that much weight in that central section via lead tape or tennis racket tape or storm suspendos or something of that nature. So as we add and or remove weight via hooks and split rings, we're augmenting the potential running depth of the bait based upon our cast length, right? So when I want a bait to run shallower, removing a hook or two hooks or whatever it might be helps with that. Running deeper, right, increasing the hooks or increasing the gauge of the hooks gains more depth.
Yeah.
You feel
and you just mentioned, it's funny, Joe Booker posted, I think it was Joe, he posted a picture of a pike that, you know, it's like, why do they always do this? You know, you lose muskies, but, you know, pike never seemed to miss it. And it was like, you know, two treble hooks just in the muck, just a nightmare, right, on a small fish. And it just happened to me, too. You know, it was like I think it was a Suic or something. And the thing got two treble hooks in there. You know, this is, a triple treble hooked bait, you know, and they're fairly close together, and it's just like you know, pretty difficult to get those hooks out of that little pike without injuring it. And it's just, you know, it's taking time off the water because it's like trying to get those things out of there. And it's just like, you go with a two hook thing like you just said, and you could always increase the hook size and weight a little bit, maybe not on a Suic, but on a depth rainer where, you know, the hooks are not far apart, hey, good modification, and it might be, you know, quicker and easier and actually safer for the fish.
You know, it just is what it is. You know, I mean, most people are never going to be simply put, most people will never be dialed in enough to tell the difference, but a few grams here or there or percentage of ounces can be the difference, right? It's minutia. It's proximity. Sure. It's this. So, you know, being aware of that. Now, if you're throwing these baits with the middle hook removed and you feel as though you're getting the same amount of action, don't worry about it. The pike are eating it, But be aware that if you augment a bait, I don't care what bait it is. It could be a Kraken. It could be a Cisco Kid. It could be whatever. When you augment the bait by changing or replacing hooks, things get slightly different. The more drastic of a change via hook weight, hook size, essentially, will change things. So it becomes apparent. Something we promised, and again, we try to make false promises. Jay, we have to do the hook database this winter.
All the hook database.
Yeah, we dropped the Smitty's. Screwed that up.
They did.
No, they didn't. But it sounds good. We need to do that so we have a deeper understanding of what hooks, the exact models, and the weighting thereof. So we'll work on that. Mark my word. But when you augment a bait by any changes, you're augmenting the lift, the drop, the running depth. You know, sometimes people will over-augment baits where they kill the action. You know, a one-for-one replacement. If it's working, a one-for-one is far more important than just kind of willy-nilly in it. Anyway, Jay Burton, I'm back in the fold. I'm back in black, baby.
Back in the saddle again.
Freaking back in silly town doing my thing. Jaybird, say good night.
Thanks, guys.
Avita Zane.
least it always said a success rate to convert a dish on the figure eight. Forever.